My name's Vince Wall, but this is our first broadcast since our church has been locked down. We've been going through the book of Philippians, and we're up to chapter 1. And I want to read to you just the first couple of verses to begin with in Philippians chapter 1. When Paul writes this letter, he's writing to the Philippian Christians about 10 years after he started the church there. And he's writing to encourage them. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In the book of Acts, chapter 28, we get a few more details about Paul's imprisonment. In Acts 28, verse 16, the Bible says, "When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." So he's in Rome and he's guarded by a soldier. He's been able to stay in a rented house, but he has these continual guards with him. Acts 28:30 says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So he's able to receive people into his house. He was able to witness. In another prison epistle, the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this. In Ephesians 6 verse 20, he says, "I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul knew that he was an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. He was a representative of the Lord Jesus wherever he was, whether he was free or whether he was confined in prison, whether he had a guard beside him. The Apostle Paul, wherever he was, knew that he represented the Lord Jesus. Now, as you read the book of Philippians, Paul didn't want the Philippian Christians to be surprised by the suffering that he was going through and also the suffering that they were going through. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. John 16:33, Jesus speaking, said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We all live in a fallen world. All of us suffer. But Christians have a different suffering. We suffer because we have faith in the Lord Jesus, and when we stand for him, the Bible indicates that we will suffer persecution. The godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul suffered, as I mentioned, and so the Philippian Christians were also suffering. If you read Philippians 1 verse 29, the Bible says, "For to you," this is Paul writing to them, "for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Further on in the letter, in chapter 4, the letter to the Philippians, in verse 11, he says, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now, as I mentioned before, Paul is writing to the Philippians. He's a prisoner in Rome. And some Christians may have heard of Paul's imprisonment, and they might have thought that his ministry was finished now. Here he is, he's kept as a prisoner, he's got the guards beside him. But that was not true. Paul had a great ministry in his confinement. In his imprisonments, he was able to witness to people that he would never have had the chance to do so before. In Philippians 1 verse 12, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." So his imprisonment didn't stop him from being a witness. You know, there are many countries around the world that are locked down now because of the coronavirus. Not only countries have been affected, but churches around the world now are locked down. People are locked out of their churches. Something certainly that hasn't happened worldwide, I believe, ever in history. And I think that could be discouraging for numbers of Christians. The fact that they're locked out of their church, they're locked out of their fellowship, that they can't come to Bible study, that they can't come and hear the preaching of the word, that they can't come and praise. It's very discouraging for numbers and numbers of believers. And if you think of the Apostle Paul, he was in confinement, and we're sort of in confinement now in Australia, and quite possibly it's going to get worse if we have a major lockdown, if the government announces that. Not only are Christians confined somewhat in Australia now, but missionaries around the world are confined. Their ministry is reduced in many places. Outreach has been reduced, and there's a temptation for all of us to be discouraged with the present situation. But with that in mind, we need to take some lessons from the Apostle Paul in his confinement. I think Paul had a great attitude in his confinement because, first of all, he knew that God was sovereign over everything that happens. Think about what Paul said in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if something difficult comes into your life, this coronavirus is bringing many difficulties. It's bringing unemployment, uncertainty. You go to the shops and the shops don't have what they normally used to have. It is concerning a lot of people. But we can be encouraged, as Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So even in this situation we find ourselves in, a very uncertain situation, we can know that God can actually work this out for our good. There's a couple of reasons I want to go through. The coronavirus has not taken God by surprise, because nothing takes God by surprise. Our God is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. He is all-powerful. He sees the future before it comes to pass. The Lord knew that this virus was going to hit the world. And I believe that God will ultimately use this virus for his glory. The Bible shows us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, that our God in heaven works all things after the counsel of his own will. Could the Lord stop the virus tomorrow? Absolutely. When Jesus walked on this earth, he could heal disease. He could still the waters. He was God in the flesh. Could he stop it? Yes, he could. But God is in charge. God is allowing this in our nation and the nations of the world for his purposes. Paul was calm in his confinement. And I think we need to have the same mindset as the Apostle Paul. Philippians 1 verse 12 there, Paul says, "The things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." There's three things that I'm sure that Paul would have done as a prisoner. I think Paul would have used his confinement for prayer. That's number one. Secondly, I believe that he would have used his confinement, if it was possible, for study. And thirdly, for witnessing. We know Paul took the opportunity to pray. He's there in Rome. He's got the guard beside him. And when he writes to the Philippians, in Philippians 1 verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." He's praying for the Philippian Christians. And remember, it's 10 years since he's founded the church there with the other missionaries. He's in confinement, and yet he states that he's praying. He takes the opportunity to pray. Secondly, I believe if Paul had the opportunity, he would take the opportunity to study. Now, I'm not sure whether he had scriptures there or not, but I know that he knew the Word of God, and perhaps he took the time to memorize the Word of God. But we know near the end of the Apostle Paul's life, when he was again confined, we find in the scriptures that he had a desire to study. You might remember that near the end of his life, he wrote a letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." So near the end of his life, not knowing whether he's going to live or die, here is the Apostle Paul requesting the fact that he could get the books and also the parchments. I believe that the Apostle Paul invested his Christian life in prayer, but he also invested his Christian life in study. And perhaps if we're confined in our homes, we need to think about what Paul would have done. Paul would have prayed. He prayed for other believers. He would have prayed for the concerns of them. He would have prayed for his own situation. But not only is he a man of prayer, he's also, I believe, he would have been a man of study, as he was at the end of his life, requesting the books and requesting the parchments. Well, Paul prayed, Paul studied, and thirdly, Paul witnessed. And God can use this world situation to help us to be prayerful, to help us grow in our faith. We can take time to study the scriptures. There are many Christians now that are not going to be in work for maybe the next week, the next couple of weeks or couple of months, might even go on to next year. And numbers of Christians are going to have a lot of time in their hands, on their hands, where they can pray, where they can study. But Paul also took the opportunity to witness. Now that's interesting. How are we going to witness in our confinement? This world situation that we're in, God can use for the furtherance of the gospel. You think about Australia and many other parts of the world. Sports have closed down. Clubs have closed down. Hotels have closed down. Theatres have closed down. Casinos have closed down. All types of entertainment has closed down. Not only entertainment, but there are businesses that have closed down. Schools have closed down. And universities have closed down. And I believe in this period of time in our history, there are going to be numbers of people that are really disillusioned because their life has been completely turned upside down. They can't turn on the telly and watch the latest game because there's no latest game. If they're an AFL fan, they can't switch on their favourite team and see the latest game of AFL because there's no game. Those that are gamblers in society, they can't go down to their club or their casino because they're closed. Those that like eating out, they can't go and eat out because the restaurants are closed, unless you want to line up on the footpath and get takeaway from your favourite restaurant if they're open. People's lives have been completely turned upside down. And the people that don't know the Lord Jesus as their saviour, numbers of them, their idols have been smashed. Maybe temporarily. There are numbers of people that their idols of sport, live sport, is gone for many of them. There are other people and their idols are gambling and money. And money is crashing. Other people have their wealth and their wealth is their God and they work and work and work. And some of those people are finding themselves without work now, without a business. Or they've got a business and they can't open the doors to their customers. People's lives are being turned upside down. Idols are being smashed. People can't go to the movies. They can't go to the casinos or other places. And therefore, people have a lot of time on their hands and they can't be entertained. They can't even go to the gym. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to reach disillusioned people with the good news of the gospel. There's going to be people that lose a lot. I was speaking to a lady the other day. Her building society sent her a letter. She's lost $13,500. Values of property probably will go down. Values of cars will go down. Values of businesses will go down. Values of shares are going down. The dollar is going down. So there are many people that are disturbed. But I believe it's a good opportunity for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God can use this disaster that's happening across the world as a megaphone from heaven to speak to people that maybe normally would not listen for a word from God because their lives are too busy. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." When things are going well, people are often deaf to the voice of God. People are often deaf to the call of repentance. People are often deaf to their sin and the fact that they're going to stand before God, who is a holy judge. But when things are going well, people often do not think about God. They don't think about eternity. Arthur Stace used to go on the streets of Sydney, and he would remind people of eternity just by, in that beautiful copper plate writing, writing the word eternity on the pavements of Sydney, even went to Melbourne, went to some country towns. And it's estimated that he wrote eternity, I think, over 400,000 times. And so people would be going down and they would be doing their business in the city, and then they would see eternity. And it would remind a biblically aware nation of the fact that they were going to stand before God in eternity. I believe today we're less biblically aware. But you know, God in a way is writing on the pavements of the world a reminder of eternity, because people are dying and people are sick. And Arthur Stace is not doing it, but God is doing it. He's reminding people of the reality of eternity. And when people, if it gets worse in our nation, the coronavirus, people are going to have the constant reminder that they are mere mortals and that they're going to stand, those that have some biblical understanding will know that they're going to stand before their Creator one day. When things are going well, people are often deaf to the voice of God. But when disaster strikes, numbers of people will listen to God's word. I think this time of distress on our nation is also a wake-up call to Christians. A wake-up call in the fact that things may not go well. They may not ever be the same. And we need to have an eternal vision as Christians, because the Bible tells us that the world that we know is not going to end well. The world that we know one day is going to be destroyed, and there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And ultimately, with Jesus in charge, things will end well for all those that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But things won't end well for the majority in the world. And this world is going to pass away. The Bible's very clear about that. I believe that the coronavirus is a wake-up call to Christians to think about eternity, to think about their own lives, but also to think about the fact that they need to reach the lost. In Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, his disciples wanted to know what sign would signal his return and the end of the age. You find that in Matthew 24, verse 3. In response, Jesus gave his disciples an idea of what the tribulation period was going to be like. In Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." There's coming a time of absolute chaos, universal chaos in this world, and it's called the tribulation period. The good news is, for any person that's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, I believe that the Lord is going to remove us before the tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." God is going to use the tribulation period to bring the nation of Israel to himself. He's going to use that also as a time where he's going to pour out his judgments on those that reject his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the good news, as I mentioned, is that Christians will be removed before that. Matthew 24:40, then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. When Paul wrote about the event of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 16, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's the wonderful news of the rapture of the church. Potentially, our nation could see multiple deaths. It could even see a financial depression sweeping this land because of the coronavirus. God may use the coronavirus to make non-Christians aware of the reality of death, of suffering, and eternity. And it's my hope that God may use the virus also to stir up spiritually apathetic Christians to the need of reaching the lost before it's too late. There's another thing. God may use this time in our history to give us new opportunities for the gospel. When Paul was confined in Rome, he found himself amongst a different audience than what he would normally speak to. We know the Apostle Paul would go to the marketplace, he would go to the synagogues. But Paul, because of his confinement, got to speak to the palace guard. He also got to speak to people from Caesar's household. Paul was, wherever he was called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. And we should be witnesses, whether we're confined in our homes, we need to be praying, we need to be studying. And if there's a way that we might be able to witness to others, it could be on the telephone, we need to take that opportunity also. The Lord's command to be witnesses includes times of crisis as well. Acts 1 verse 8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Paul here is probably chained to a guard 24 hours a day. If they're on 6-hour shifts, say, they would be four different guards. So if there was 8-hour shifts, then he would see three guards in that 24-hour period. Verse 12 of Philippians 1. Let me show it to you again. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Numbers of guards would never have heard the gospel if Paul wasn't a prisoner of Rome. In fact, if you study about the palace guards, it's thought that there was 10,000 palace guards in Paul's day. And they were aware of his testimony. He says in verse 13, "It has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." His testimony went out possibly to 10,000 guards. We know also that his testimony went out to those within Caesar's household. Philippians 4 verse 21. "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." So his confinement brought him into contact with the guards, and Caesar's household was reached also. I don't know whether they came in and talked to him, whether they brought him food, but he made contacts there, right within the palace. You know, we need to do what the Apostle Paul did. Perhaps we're going to be put into confinement in our own homes, and we need to be thinking about, how am I going to reach others for the Lord Jesus? We need to be thinking about new opportunities that the Lord might bring us at this time. I had a call from a pastor the other day, and the pastor wanted between 2,000 and 3,000 tracts so that his church could put them out in the neighbourhood. Well, I told him about a printer that could do that, and he sent me an email. And the email was a follow-up email, and he wanted 5,000 tracks. And so this pastor, I believe, is looking at the times that we're living in and thinking, we've got to get tracks into letterboxes. We've got to get tracks into hands because time might be short. You know, if we're in total lockdown, you can become a missionary in your lounge room. You can become a mobile missionary. You can use your mobile phone to reach people for the gospel. If we're locked up, we've got to look out for those that need the gospel. Today, you can get training to become an online missionary. There's an organization and it's called Global Media Outreach, and they do a course for people for a couple of weeks in full training, how you might be a mobile missionary, how you might use your mobile, your iPad, your computer to reach people on the other side of the world with the good news of the gospel. You can share the gospel, you can take prayer points, you can help in discipleship. You can be a missionary, whatever age you are, if you've got a mobile phone or a computer, in this time of lockdown, you can use those to reach other people over in Africa, Egypt, places in the Middle East for the gospel. Do you know today there are more people in the world who own mobile phones than who own toothbrushes? The mobile phone has gone out to the islands. The mobile phone has gone out to the Middle East and China. And so many people around the world are mobile savvy. You go to the Pacific Islands. I was at the Pacific Islands last year. Islanders on some of these little islands, they've got mobile phones. There are more people that own mobile phones than there are that own toothbrushes. I think that's amazing. Millions of people can be reached today with the gospel just using the technology of the phone, the iPad, or the computer. Where feet cannot go, the mobile can go today. Now let's quickly summarize my message today. As you read the book of Philippians, Paul didn't want the Philippians to be surprised by their suffering or his suffering. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. John 16, verse 33. Paul had a great attitude in his confinement because the Apostle Paul knew that God was sovereign in every situation and that God will work out every situation for every believer's good and also for God's glory. Read Romans 8, 28 again. I think Paul would have used his confinement for prayer, and I know that because he wrote to the Philippians that he was praying for them. I believe that he would have used his confinement for study, and we know that he used his confinement for the furtherance of the gospel, for witnessing. God took the bad things that happened to the Apostle Paul, his confinement, and God used the bad things to get the good news of the gospel out. And you read Philippians chapter 1 there. Also, God can use this world's disasters for the furtherance of the gospel. Ephesians 1 verse 11. God is in control of all things. God can use the disasters that the world is going through as a megaphone from heaven to reach people for eternity. I think this time of distress on our nation could also make Christians wake up to the fact that the time is short. Jesus may come soon for his people. And you know, there's one thing that we can't do in heaven. In heaven, we can praise. In heaven, we can have fellowship. In heaven, we'll have the peace of God. In heaven, I believe that we'll be able to perhaps tour heaven and maybe tour the galaxies. We'll be able to see the wonderful creative things that has not been visible to our eyes. There's going to be so many things that we are able to do in heaven, but there's one thing that we cannot do in heaven, and that's win a soul to the Lord Jesus. There's no witnessing in heaven because there's no lost in heaven. Everyone's saved in heaven. One thing you can't do in heaven is win souls for the Lord Jesus. The time is now for that. God may use this time in our history to have new opportunities for the gospel. When Paul was confined in Rome, he got to speak to an audience that he would not normally reach, the guards and also those in Caesar's household. And that might be our case in this lockdown. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Another thing that this virus may bring the opportunity for us is to be salt and light in this time of darkness. Christians need to show others that we're not in a panic. If Jesus Christ is our Saviour, if Jesus Christ went to the cross for all our sins, if Jesus Christ promises us eternal life, if Jesus Christ promises us that he cares for the sparrows, he cares for his creation, he cares for each of us, and we don't have to worry. And we need to witness in the fact, not only by our words, but by our lives, that we're calm in the presence of a storm. You know the words that David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We may be walking through a valley of death. People may be dying around us or dying in our communities. People are going to be looking out for those that have hope. And we have hope in the face of death, because we have Jesus as our Saviour. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 28 verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." We need to be praising the Lord. We can rejoice in the midst of trials and in the midst of storms, because we have a God who cares for us and a God who loves us. If you're a Christian, you would know that believers do not need to fear death. Christ is our Saviour and Christ is our Deliverer. Philippians 1 verse 20, Paul says, "So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me pray. Father God, we want to pray for our nation and the nations of this world in this time of crisis. Lord, help each of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus as Saviour to do what Paul did. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people that study your word, and help us to be people that take the opportunity to witness in these dark days, to witness with our words, the words of the gospel and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus, but help us to witness by our lives. Help us to be calm. So we commit these next months to you, Lord. We commit our church to you and believers around the world, those that are on the mission field, and those here at home, Lord, and help us to be effective witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen.